All right, I'm ready to roll here. If you would all please, this afternoon, turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28 this afternoon. I'll get there in a minute or three, maybe four. I have a message today about the real cause of the highly publicized but so far very limited and restrained warfare that Russia has been waging in Ukraine over the past 4 days. They could have been pouring it on a lot harder than they have been. They could have wiped out that city by now. They're being very restrained, very cautious. This past Thursday, we all woke up to headlines about the Russian invasion that we've been expecting for weeks. Blow-by-blow coverage of that invasion has dominated mainstream news ever since, most of which has been packed full of propaganda and several lies. And while every outlet of the controlled press, media mind control machine is calling Vladimir Putin a madman with his finger on the nuclear war button and comparing him to Adolf Hitler, including the feigned conservative news source Fox News, whose owner, Rupert Murdoch, is in fact, just like George Soros, another Vatican stooge and frontman, who in 1998 was actually awarded papal knighthood and induction into Pope John Paul's Order of St. Gregory the Great, which is an honor, by the way, that's only bestowed on persons of a, quote, unblemished character, which Rupert Murdoch doesn't quite have, but also who have, quote, promoted the interests of society, the church, meaning the Catholic Church, and the Holy See, the Vatican, the Pope. So he was promoted to that status because of his promotion of the Pope's interests. In addition to Fox News, by the way, Rupert Murdoch also owns Zondervan Publishing, the owner of the exclusive publishing rights to the NIV, the Vatican's NIV Bible perversion, and it also publishes other perversions as well. And so Rupert Murdoch, as one of the Vatican's leading frontmen, allows his high-paid employees, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and Donald Trump's star cheerleader, Sean Hannity, to spout out just enough truth to convince so-called conservative Republicans and Trumpers that Fox News is on their side. So Fox News can, like the old fox in the hen house adage, control the opposition when crucial mind control is in order. As it did, for one example, when it was the first, Fox was the first to announce that Donald Trump lost the 2020 elections to Joe Biden fair and square, which we know wasn't the case. Fox News exists first to control the opposition when it agrees with CNN and CBS and ABC about what the powers that be want the American people to believe. But also, it exists on many issues to stir the pot and to foment heightened anger and division between so-called conservatives and the radical Marxist left, as the Vatican's Jesuits, by the way, have always done, playing both sides of the fence, creating the type of division that finally results in revolution to divide and conquer. And so while Fox News and all other mainstream media outlets are calling Vladimir Putin out as a madman who just wants to expand his territory and rebuild the old Soviet Union, that's not what this is about. And while at the same time, many today who are like-minded with us and who do understand the workings of the globalists and the New World Order agenda think that Putin is following the same script that Biden is, serving the same master. At present, though, I do not think that is the case. Instead, I believe the facts of history over the past 30 years show clearly that America pushed Putin into this invasion as a result of its own lust for empire, leaving Putin no alternative, and that Putin is taking this step not because he has any fear of Ukraine itself, but because he is trying to avert the nuclear war that it appears America and its Masonic cabal is pushing for, which could easily result if NATO allows Ukraine to join NATO, which they've apparently seemed to try to open the door to. So I want to talk today about Putin's real objectives and the real issues that led to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, what it means for us and for the world, about the true culprits and the true madmen that are responsible for once again pushing the world to the brink of possible nuclear war, and also about what implications this invasion has in the fulfillment of end times Bible prophecy. We read in Isaiah 28, beginning in verse 14, "Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, the judgment of God, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. I'll come back to these words later in the message. Isaiah wrote these words to the men of Jerusalem, but as I've said before and repeat today regarding the situation in Ukraine, he could very well have written these very same words to the men that have ruled Washington, D.C. for many decades, both the Jesuit Joe Biden and to many U.S. presidents who preceded him, including Donald Trump, along with all those presidents accommodating accomplices in the Congress who perform for the same globalist puppet masters, all of whom have made lies their refuge, and thereby they have made a covenant with death and with hell. As stated, most of what we are hearing through the controlled media's mind control machine is propaganda and lies. A lot of it is. For one example, we have seen repeated reports about the Ukrainian military men who were guarding Ukraine's strategic Snake Island in the northwest region of the Black Sea there near Romania. We're told that as a Russian warship approached the island and ordered the guards to lay down their arms and surrender the island, and that if they did not comply, they'd be killed. Western media reports that they refused to surrender and that their collective and linguistically colorful response was, Russian warship, go blank yourself, expletive deleted. However, that great war story of courage and valor has been proven to be false by pictures and video released by the Russian Defense Ministry showing that the Ukrainian servicemen are in fact still alive after voluntarily surrendering their garrison to Russian troops, which was also confirmed by Ukraine in a statement released on Saturday by the State Border Guard Service of Ukraine, which stated, quote, we have a strong belief that all Ukrainian defenders of Zmini or Snake Island may be alive. Almost a dozen photos released by Russia purportedly show the men boarding buses at the port of Sevastopol being given bottled water and a box of food before being shown sitting in their bus seats on their way to where they're going to be held. Russia then announced that the men will be released and allowed to return to their families. As another example, a photo is being passed around of a woman with her face all bloodied and bandaged, allegedly as a result of the assault on Kiev. That has actually still not happened to the extent being claimed. That photo has since been exposed as having been taken years before the gas explosion. Obviously, both sides can publish lies and propaganda. We know that. Putin himself is a former KGB agent and is no stranger to propaganda warfare, having used it himself many times in the past. And so rather than relying strictly on news reports coming that may be skewed, and rather than simply putting out my own thoughts here, summaries, or opinions, I want you all to listen as I give some perspective from recent history from a couple of sources, one being a highly respected, loyal American and very well-informed Washington insider I've cited to before, that being Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who in the 1980s served as Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Economic Policy under President Ronald Reagan. He was the chief architect, actually, of Reagan's highly successful supply-side economics. After leaving government, Roberts served as Associate Editor of the Wall Street Journal and for 10 years held the William E. Simon Chair in Economics at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. This is a well-respected man, well-studied, very well-learned. His articles have also appeared in the New York Times and Harper's Magazine. Roberts still writes extensively. He's about 83 now. He's written several articles over the past few days, posted to his website, I'm just going to quote some excerpts from today. I want you to listen as I read some excerpts here. I do have some quotes. It's going to take me a little bit of time. I want you to listen to what these men are saying. One article, this is from last January, when we knew that Russia had demanded in December 21st, they delivered their demands to NATO and to America as well, demanding that America agree, NATO agree, not to allow Ukraine into NATO, and also that they would agree to pull all their missiles out of Poland and Romania, other demands that went along with that. Basically, demanding that NATO pull back to its 1997 status. Those were his demands. And so then the following January, Paul Craig Roberts posted an article titled, "Russian Missiles in Cuba and Venezuela, What's Behind Moscow's Hardball Rhetoric?" Because Putin was threatening this. This is an article that Roberts has posted to his website. It records an interview that a lady had with Paul Craig Roberts. The lady's name is Katerina Bilanova. And she says, "The Kremlin has long exercised self-restraint and responded diplomatically to the West provocations, but has realized that there are hostile intentions behind the growing ring of military bases around Russia, and that this has to be stopped if Russia is to be an independent country," says Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, ex-Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under Ronald Reagan, etc., etc. Roberts says, quote, "Russia is correct that security has to be mutual. The Kremlin has made it clear that Russia is not going to permit her security to be further impaired. Peskov's mention of possible Russian deployments in Cuba and Venezuela is intended to call to mind that today the Kremlin feels as threatened as the Kremlin felt in early 1960s because of U.S. missiles placed in Turkey at that time. The consequences of the U.S. action was to bring Russian missiles to Cuba, a dangerous situation that Kennedy and Khrushchev resolved by removing missiles from Turkey and Cuba." So America fomented Cuban missile crisis by putting missiles in Turkey. Russia said, all right, we're going to put them in Cuba, which is what he's threatening to do now, too, Cuba and Venezuela. Roberts continues. On 9 September 1962, Soviet ballistic missiles were delivered to Cuba within the framework of the USSR secret Operation Anadir. The U.S. had been unaware for a whole month that Soviet rockets had already been deployed in the Caribbean nation. Operation Anadir came in response to the U.S. botched invasion of Cuba and the deployment of intermediate-range Jupiter missiles in Italy and Turkey beginning in 1961 by the John Kennedy administration. The crisis was resolved after then-President Kennedy agreed to dismantle all the Jupiter MRBMs deployed in Turkey against the USSR in exchange for the removal of Soviet nuclear missiles from the Caribbean nation. Quote, "Despite lessons learned, the U.S. is replaying this scenario and the Kremlin is objecting," Dr. Roberts says. "If Cuba and Venezuela are willing, there is nothing to stop Russia putting missiles in those countries." I think they've said they are willing. However, I don't think Peskov is doing anything but emphasizing to Washington the seriousness of the situation. Russia can just as easily station its new hypersonic missiles on surface ships or submarines off the U.S. Atlantic and Pacific coasts, etc., etc. There are some details that we hadn't had before about the Cuban missile crisis, along with some insight into what's taking place today. And then last Thursday, after the invasion, Dr. Roberts posted an article that he wrote titled, quote, "The news headlines tell all." In this brief article, Dr. Roberts quotes some recent headlines, and then he gives brief commentary. So then he closes the article with the meat of the article. He says this, his comment, "The world has reached a point in its history when the Western part of it has totally failed in its leadership. The United States, abandoning all principles of its founding, all allegiance to law, has attempted to impose its will on the world. Russia objects, and so does China. These are powerful objectors," Roberts says. "Russia is the world's preeminent military power. China is the world's preeminent economic power. Washington, a rapidly declining power," he writes, "has made itself an enemy of both. This signifies the total failure of Washington's foreign power. So many corrupt interests are dependent on Washington's power that it is impossible for the United States to adjust itself peacefully to the new world order created by Russia. This puts the life of the entire Western world at risk for no reason except the hubristic claim that the West is exceptional and entitled to hegemony over the world." He says Putin put an end to that hegemony a couple days ago. Then that same day, Roberts posted this article titled, "They didn't hear what we told them. They had better hear this time. Vladimir Putin." In this article, he quotes from much more of Putin's speech from last Thursday than the Western press has been allowed to publish. Roberts writes, "Think back to 2014, when the U.S. overthrew the Ukrainian government and installed the neo-Nazi regime. The neocons were smirking, laughing at how easy it was to buffalo the Russians. Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland publicly bragged about how the U.S. had spent $5 billion preparing the overthrow of Ukraine, much cheering of how Ukraine would now be used to destabilize Russia and seize the Russian Black Sea naval base. After a long, frustrating, humiliating 8 years of trying to get the West's attention that this was not a scheme Russia could accept, and after one last effort which got nowhere, Russia has acted. He says in a speech this morning, last Thursday, Putin explained the long years of Russian frustration in her efforts to achieve mutual security with the West, which has remained intent on its own domination. Here are opening words from Putin's address. Quote, "I consider it necessary today to speak again about the tragic events in Donbass and the key aspects of ensuring the security of Russia. I'll begin with what I said in my address February 21, 2022, 3 days earlier. I spoke about our biggest concerns and worries and about the fundamental threats which irresponsible Western politicians created for Russia consistently, rudely, and unceremoniously from year to year. I'm referring to the eastward expansion of NATO, which is moving its military infrastructure ever closer to the Russian border. It is a fact," he said, "over the past 30 years, we have been patiently trying to come to an agreement with the leading NATO countries regarding the principle of equal and indivisible security in Europe. In response to our proposals," he writes, "we invariably faced either cynical deception and lies or attempts at pressure and blackmail, while the North Atlantic Alliance continued to expand despite our protests and concerns. Its military machine is moving and, as I said, is approaching our very border." "Why is this happening?" Putin said. "Where did this insolent manner of talking down from the height of their exceptionalism, infallibility, and all permissiveness come from? What is the explanation for this contemptuous and disdainful attitude to our interests and absolutely legitimate demands?" He said the answer is simple. Everything is clear and obvious. In the late 1980s, the Soviet Union grew weaker and substantially broke apart. That experience should serve as a good lesson for us because it has shown that the paralysis of power and will is the first step toward complete degradation and oblivion. We lost confidence for only one moment, but it was enough to disrupt the balance of forces in the world. That's where Roberts stops his quote. I'm going to read on more of Putin's speech. Just to add here a little bit, Roberts left out. Putin said, "As a result, the old treaties and agreements are no longer effective. Entreaties and requests do not help. Anything that does not suit the dominant state, the powers that be, is denounced as archaic, obsolete, and useless. At the same time, everything it regards as useful is presented as the ultimate truth and forced on others regardless of the cost, abusively, and by any means available. Those who refuse to comply are subjected to strong-arm tactics." What I'm saying now does not concern only Russia, and Russia is not the only country that is worried about this. This has to do with the entire system of international relations, and sometimes even U.S. allies. The collapse of the Soviet Union led to a redivision of the world, and the norms of international law that developed by that time, and the most important of them, the fundamental norms that were adopted following World War II and largely formalized its outcome, come in the way of those who declared themselves the winners of the Cold War. Of course, practice, international relations, and the rules regulating them had to take into account the changes that took place in the world and the balance of forces. However, this should have been done professionally, smoothly, patiently, and with due regard and respect for the interests of all states and one's own responsibility. Instead, we saw a state of euphoria created by the feeling of absolute superiority, a kind of modern absolutism, American absolutism, coupled with the low cultural standards and arrogance of those who formulated and pushed through decisions that suited only themselves. That's a very interesting commentary by Putin on America's strategy here. Coupled with the low cultural standards and arrogance of those who formulated and pushed through decisions that suited only themselves. He says the situation took a different turn. There are many examples of this, he says. He gives some examples of American insolence. First, a bloody military operation was waged against Belgrade in Yugoslavia there, without the UN Security Council's sanction, but with combat aircraft and missiles used in the heart of Europe. Talking here about the NATO bombing campaign in Yugoslavia during the Kosovo War of 1999 during the Clinton administration, which was reportedly in response to Yugoslavia's so-called ethnic cleansing of Albanians in Kosovo. Putin says the bombing of peaceful cities and vital infrastructure went on for several weeks. I have to recall these facts because some Western colleagues prefer to forget them. When we mention the event, they prefer to avoid speaking about international law instead of emphasizing the circumstances which they interpret as they think necessary. Then came the turn of Iraq, Libya, and Syria. The illegal use of military power against Libya, remember when they went in and got old Muammar Gaddafi, invaded Libya, and the distortion of all the UN Security Council decisions on Libya ruined the state, ruined Libya. We know that today. Created a huge seat of international terrorism and pushed the country towards a humanitarian catastrophe into the vortex of a civil war that has continued there for years. The tragedy, which was created for hundreds of thousands and even millions of people, not only in Libya but in the whole region, has led to a large-scale exodus from the Middle East and North Africa to Europe, caused by American intervention in Libya. It says a similar fate was also prepared for Syria. The combat operations conducted by the Western coalition in that country without the Syrian government's approval or UN Security Council sanction can only be defined as aggression and intervention. But the example, he says, that stands apart from the above events is, of course, the invasion of Iraq without any legal grounds. They used the pretext of allegedly reliable information available in the United States about the presence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. To prove that allegation, the U.S. Secretary of State, remember Colin Powell, held up a vial with white powder publicly. Remember that, when he did that? For the whole world to see, assuring the international community that it was a chemical warfare agent created in Iraq. It later turned out that all that was a fake and a sham, and that Iraq did not have any chemical weapons. Incredible and shocking, but true. We witnessed lies made at the highest state level and voiced from the high UN rostrum. As a result, we see a tremendous loss in human life, damage, destruction, and a colossal upsurge of terrorism. By the way, during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, I think, 500,000 innocent civilians were killed in those wars, caused by American interventionism, because we think we should rule the world. Putin said, overall, it appears that nearly everywhere in many regions of the world where the United States has brought its law and order, this created bloody, non-healing wounds and the curse of international terrorism and extremism. I've only mentioned the most glaring, but far from only, examples of disregard for international law. He goes on to talk to the Russian people and to Russian soldiers and to Ukrainian soldiers. It's a long speech. It went about 20 minutes. I'm done. Let me cut off at that point. But back to Paul Roberts' conclusion, Paul Craig Roberts. He said, the imbalance of force has been corrected, and since force is all that the West understands, Russia is using force to end the use of Ukraine as a pawn against Russia. He says, in the past, stupid and arrogant West ignored Russia's warnings. In his address this morning, Putin gave another warning. And if the stupid Western leaders do not hear this warning, the West will cease to exist. And he gives Putin's closing paragraph. Putin closed that speech with these words. I would now like to say something very important for those who may be tempted to interfere in these developments from the outside. We've heard this part. He said, no matter who tries to stand in our way, or all the more so create threats for our country and our people, they must know that Russia will respond immediately and the consequences will be such as you have never seen in your entire history. No matter how the events unfold, we are ready, Putin said. All the necessary decisions in this regard have been taken. I hope that my words will be heard, said Putin. We've heard those words already. And so I think there, briefly, Paul Craig Roberts gives some insight into the basis and the reasons for Putin's invasion of Ukraine. But also in line with that statement, I've got one more article I want to quote from, some excerpts. And this was from a great analysis posted Friday by Scott Ritter. I cited from him 2 weeks ago. Again, Scott Ritter is a former U.S. Marine Corps intelligence officer who served on General Norman Schwarzkopf's staff during the Gulf War of 1990 in Iraq and Kuwait. And then he served actually from 1991 and 1998. As in the Soviet Union, as a UN weapons inspector implementing the INF Treaty. He posted an article on Friday titled Russia's Invasion of Ukraine in Perspective. He says, let there be no mistake. On February 24th, the world awoke to a new reality. Prior to this date, Russia was treated by the West as an annoyance, belittled by economic and even military elites as little more than a giant gas station masquerading as a nation. To quote John McCain, the now deceased senator from Arizona, Russian President Vladimir Putin has been subjected to a series of sophomoric psychological profiles that trivialized Russian national concerns as little more than the psychotic whim of a troubled individual. It's exactly how they're characterizing Putin. The caricatures that emerged of the Russian state and its leadership colored the analysis of Russia's off-state concerns over what it viewed as its legitimate national security. This blinded the West to the reality of what was transpiring. Because no one took Russia seriously, no one could imagine a large-scale ground war in Europe. So everyone was taken by surprise when such a conflict broke out. How we got here? He says, ever since NATO had opened the door to membership for Ukraine and Georgia during the 2008 Bucharest summit, Russia has been making its vehement opposition known. William Burns, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia and now director of the CIA, captured the Russian sentiment in a February 2009 memorandum. Quote, "Nyet means nyet. Russia's NATO enlargement red lines. Russia," Burns noted, "viewed farther expansion eastward as a potential military threat, giving rise to Russian fears that the issue could potentially split the country of Ukraine in two, leading to violence or even some claim civil war, which would force Russia to decide whether to intervene and cause war between NATO and Russia." One need only look at what transpired in Donetsk and Luhansk and Russia's current military operation in Ukraine to understand how prescient, how correct Burns' cable was. However, Burns was ignored, so too as Putin, who had been lecturing the West ever since his landmark speech at the 2007 Munich Security Conference, where he famously called out the U.S. for having, quote, overstepped its national borders in every way. Putin declared, "This is visible in the economic, political, cultural, and educational policies it imposes on other nations." "Well, who likes this?" asked Putin. "Who is happy about this?" He was greeted by silence. "I am convinced," Putin told the assembled leadership of the Western world, "that we have reached that decisive moment," this is 2007, "when we must seriously think about the architecture of global security. We must proceed by searching for a reasonable balance between the interests of all participants in their international dialogue." That was 2007. Ritter says, in 2018, Putin unveiled new types of Russian strategic nuclear weapons designed to defeat U.S. missile defenses. "No one has listened to us," Putin declared. "You can listen to us now." Putin's 2018 nuclear announcement should have alerted the West to the critical aspect of the Russian president's personality. "You'll have to assess that new reality and become convinced that what I said today isn't a bluff. Trust me," Putin said at that time. I know it's getting long here, but I want you guys to understand that you're being lied to by the American press. He says the major takeaway from this unfolding situation should be that Russia's president does not bluff and that the West would do well to listen closely to what he has to say. As Russian troops poured across the Ukrainian border, Western diplomats and pundits proclaimed shock and dismay. But Russia had been clear about what it wanted, what the consequences of failing to get that would be. This war was predictable, if only the West had listened. The fighting rages in Ukraine. How this war will end is uncertain. The old military adage that no plan survives initial contact with the enemy applies in full. What is known is that the U.S. and Europe are imposing a second tranche of hard-hitting sanctions designed to punish Russia. It's important to point out that anyone who believed the second round of sanctions would compel a change in Russian behavior will be disappointed. These sanctions aren't going to do anything. Russia's course of action has incorporated the full range of sanctions planned by the West, not a difficult task since there had been wide speculation about their scope since they were first threatened in spring of 2021. Last paragraph. So the problem isn't sanctions, but what follows. These sanctions exhaust the options the U.S., NATO, and the EU have for responding to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. They have no follow-on plan. Russia, on the other hand, has such a plan. It has been very clear about what the future holds. Again, however, the West has not been listening. And so then, I think that we can see a little bit more why this invasion took place and the danger the entire world is in due to the treachery of those who have built and controlled the American empire. The empire of lies, as Putin appropriately called it in his speech. The empire of lies. How's China reacting to all this? What's China's reaction? First of all, it's very clear that China is in full support of Russia. China's leader Xi Jinping met with Putin during China's Winter Olympics and reportedly expressed total support for Russia's motives and moves in Ukraine. and is in fact, and rightly so in my opinion, blaming the U.S. for the conflict, calling the U.S. the culprit here. Exactly so. Early Wednesday, after Russia had invaded the Donbass region, the day before it invaded Ukraine, Taiwan's President Tsai posted a tweet in support of Ukraine, at the same time warning China against invading Taiwan. She said, "Taiwan condemns Russia's infringement on Ukrainian sovereignty and encourages all parties involved to resolve their disputes rationally and peacefully." And then she said, "Meanwhile, we will take steps to bolster our military readiness and counter cognitive warfare while ensuring economic stability. In the face of foreign forces intending to manipulate the situation in Ukraine and affect the morale of Taiwanese society, all government units must strengthen the prevention of cognitive warfare launched by foreign forces and local collaborators." Saying, "Don't attack us, China. We're ready for you." What she's saying. 3 hours later, China responded through its mouthpiece news agency as follows. "Taiwan is eager to grab attention from the Ukraine issue. There is no dispute over Ukraine's sovereignty despite disputes on its borders. Taiwan's sovereignty has never existed. China said it's only a matter of time that your secessionist regime will be eradicated," says China to Taiwan. Following that statement, then, Communist China's foreign ministry was asked in a press conference what role China has played in alleviating tensions in Ukraine, to which the ministry spokesman said, quote, "A key question here is what role the U.S., the culprit of current tensions surrounding Ukraine, has played." They said, "If someone keeps pouring oil on the flame while accusing others of not doing their best to put out the fire, such kind of behavior is clearly irresponsible and immoral." That's what China says. Then on Thursday, after Russia began conducting its full-scale invasion of Ukraine, and as if to telegraph a potential second theater of war, China sent 9 aircraft, 8 fighter jets, and 1 Y-8 reconnaissance plane into Taiwan's airspace to probe its air defenses. Taiwanese fighter jets were sent up to warn Chinese aircraft, and air defense missiles were triggered, which one report says is what China wanted to see because it helps them to hone in their electronic jamming capability against Taiwan's defenses. While that was taking place, China's defense ministry spokesman reiterated that Taiwan was a core issue of China's, that it would tolerate no foreign interference, saying, "We urge the U.S. side to recognize the high sensitivity of the Taiwan issue, stop interfering in China's internal affairs, and stop playing with fire on the Taiwan issue." And so China's response is to express full support for Russia's invasion and to warn Taiwan it's only a matter of time before its secessionist regime is eradicated. Also now, as a result of American stupidity and greed, since American corporations began moving their factories to China 30 years ago to take advantage of its low-paid slave labor, making China the new economic powerhouse of the world, Bloomberg announced this past week that the Chinese yuan is now replacing the American dollar as a safe haven for currency traders. The yuan is now a safe place, a safe haven, they're saying. So China has no fear whatsoever of American economic sanctions, no reason to fear America's sanctions, and also has little reason to fear the U.S. Navy, since both Russia and China have these supersonic missiles that can take out aircraft carrier battle groups. So then, back to the Bible. I know that was long. I want you to hear all that because I want you to understand that we're being lied to by the American press. Back to the Bible. What is the biblical significance for us in all this? First of all, as for prophetic significance, we've been all over this ground most recently in my message 2 weeks ago. We know that the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13 that one day and probably soon there will be a global government to be ruled by that man of sin and son of perdition known as the Antichrist. Verse 7, Revelation 13, says that man will be given power or authority over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That is the devil's goal, and it is the centuries-old goal of international Freemasonry also, and it was the goal of the Masonic devotees that founded this nation, which founders, including George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and others, as Masons, believing it was the destiny of this nation to fulfill that goal and bring it to pass, commissioned to have that great goal then pictured in the Great Seal of the United States. That seal was adopted by Congress in 1782, and since 1933 has also been inscribed on the back of every U.S. $1 bill with its Latin inscription, Novus Ordo Seclorum, also known as the New World Order. The New World Order is their goal. It involves a complete erasure of all national borders and the unification of all people on the planet under the rule of the devil and his Antichrist. That is the Masonic agenda. Just as we read in our Bibles, Revelation chapter 13. They know that such a result will not happen by a mere ground war. They know it's going to take a nuclear exchange to bring that goal to pass. And that, I believe, as stated many times, will be the loosing of the second seal of Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 to 4, where we read in Revelation 6, 3. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him to set thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And it was given unto him a great sword. Peace taken from the earth, global warfare pictured there. And so Jesuit Joe Biden and his Vatican-led cronies do want war. But their motivation goes far beyond the creation of another Cold War, as some are saying, just to enrich the military-industrial complex. Far beyond that, their goal is the creation of the New World Order, which they believe the world must be scared into accepting through a limited nuclear exchange, they do believe. Back to Isaiah 28. We read in Proverbs 14, verse 34, before we get there. Proverbs 14, 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. America is a nation that is heavy laden with sin within and in its foreign policy. It is highly deserving of God's divine judgment and justice, including the destruction of its empire that we read about in Revelation chapter 18. I pointed out before that there are many prophecies that were directed to Israel that also could have just as certainly been directed to America in this hour, such as Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, where we read, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They have gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint." That's a picture of America today. Jeremiah 5, verse 9. God said, "Shall I not visit thee for these things? Saith the Lord, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" We've been over this ground prophetically many times, and on that point no more needs to be said. But I preach this message again today and included all these quotations because I do not want anyone here to be fooled by the reports that we're getting, even from Fox News, Vatican stooge Rupert Murdoch's Fox in the Hen House. As we continue to hear reports on mainstream media and its mind control machine, we all need to remember that America is indeed an empire of lies. As stated months ago when Biden and his generals botched the pullout from Afghanistan, the fact is that just about everything about America is based totally on lies. The lie that we have government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Your vote doesn't even count anymore. The lie that America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. The lie of America's entire money system, all of its alleged wealth, has been built on the lie of a fake money system that creates so-called money out of thin air, along with the huge lie of its wholly fraudulent income tax system that from its inception was put into place to enslave the entire population and to implement Marxist socialism, the lies of its atheist school system, all based on godless evolution, the lies of its endless wars of imperialism and aggression trying to dominate the globe, the lies of the 9/11/2001 planned demolition of the Triple Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, which includes Building 7, to create a fake pretext for a planned war in Afghanistan in order to restore Afghanistan's opium production, among many other nefarious purposes. And then most recently, the lies of the COVID-19 scamdemic and biowarfare operation with its deadly gene-altering vaccines, masks, and vaccine mandates, and the lies used to cover up the many deaths caused by those vaccines. America has indeed been built on a refuge of lies, and its entire system may well be about to come crashing down. But, as the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah to Judah and Jerusalem, who were foolishly placing their trust in their foreign military alliances to save them from Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Isaiah 28, verse 14, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem." Isaiah 28, verse 15, "Because ye have said, We have made a covenant with death and with hell. Are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, they said. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. That is America today. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, that of course refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, and says that He is the only true refuge we have. He is the only refuge that we have. And then we read, he that believeth in Jesus shall not make haste, meaning those who trust and who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus will not rely on men or on military might or on alliances. They will not make haste to run off to some foreign deliverer. Instead, they will wait patiently for his deliverance. And then Isaiah says, verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. One day Babylon will fall, as we read about in Revelation chapter 18. The American Empire does certainly appear at present to be in total decline, possibly on its last legs. But as this passage in Isaiah tells us, those who will be trodden down by the coming judgment are those who have trusted in the refuge of lies, who have trusted in men and in America itself. For those who have placed their faith instead in that foundation stone of Zion, that tried and true, precious cornerstone and sure foundation, we have no reason to make haste, to be anxious or fearful over these events. Amen. America will eventually collapse. Babylon is falling. But we have no reason to fear. Instead, we have every reason to rejoice that these things bring the day ever closer when we shall see our Lord face to face. Amen. Back in the late 1970s, back before I got saved, when I was at the height of my rebellion and stupidity, also America was at the height of the Cold War with Russia, I was then a fan of the British progressive rock band King Crimson, along with many others of that genre. King Crimson had a song in which one line of the lyric said, quote, upon the instruments of death, the sunlight brightly gleams, referring to the nuclear weapons East and West were both stockpiling at that time. The instruments of death. Then there was another line that said, quote, knowledge is a deadly friend if no one sets the rules. The fate of all mankind, I fear, is in the hands of fools. That is the perspective of the godless reprobates who know not God. The fate of all mankind is in the hands of fools. That's what the world thinks. Those who look to men to tell them the truth and to solve the world's problems. But we know, those who believe in that precious tried cornerstone, that the fate of all mankind is not in the hands of fools. Instead, it is in the hands of our wonderful Creator and Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will one day soon loose that seal himself that we read about there in Revelation 6, 3 to 4. And then we'll allow peace to be taken from this world and warfare to consume the planet. That'll be His doing. His doing. After which He will Himself pour out plague upon this Christ-rejecting world and those who are in rebellion against Him, as He once did upon the land of Egypt. But just as when those plagues were falling on the Egyptians, the Israelites had light in their dwellings, and the Israelites' cattle and their firstborn were protected from those plagues, so will we be sheltered when Jesus finally looses that seal. Before He then comes personally in power and glory to destroy them which destroy the earth, He says. And then to change us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as Paul says, to give us glorified spiritual bodies with which we will reign with Him throughout all eternity future. The fate of the world is in His hands. So therefore, as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8, there is indeed a time for peace and a time for war. But when the world is at war, He will give us that peace that passes all understanding. Amen. After prayer, we'll sing hymn number 288, Wonderful Peace. Father in heaven, Lord God, give us wisdom, please, in this hour. Help us to see things with your eyes. Help us to see things, Lord, through the wisdom of the Bible and what we know is coming. Help us to discern all these things, Lord. Help us to come out of Babylon, to separate ourselves from this wicked, wicked nation, to regard ourselves as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. As Paul says, we've been translated into in Colossians 1. We are citizens of your kingdom, Lord. You are our king, our only king. We'll have no king but King Jesus. Help us all to see that, to turn away from the wickedness of this nation and this world, and to turn solely to you, and to set our priorities in order, to serve you in the days that we have left. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.